is it time? Some say that it's time for a new Declaration of Independence. A new Declaration of Freedom here in the United States. Barry Hinckley is the primary drafter of the re-Declaration of Independence. Great-grandson of Colonel James Barrett, commander of the Minutemen who engaged the British in 1775 at the Old North Bridge, Concord, Massachusetts. By the way, when that happened, what did the Americans do? Oh, yeah, they shot the British in the face. Three British soldiers died, two Americans, for reference. Does America need a re-Declaration of Independence? Is that where we've arrived? Well, Barry, thank you for joining me.
Great to be with you this morning, Steve.
What are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, you're drafting this re-Declaration of Independence. How does it read?
Well, it reads like a modern version of what our founders were thinking at the time when they were rising up against tyranny of the British Empire. And I believe Americans, and I've heard it certainly for the last dozen years since I ran for U.S. Senate in Rhode Island against Sheldon Whitehouse, that Americans are really frustrated with the oppression of Washington, D.C., and nothing's going to happen if we do nothing, that's for sure.
Yeah. What do you think needs to happen? Look, the chance of getting people behind you at this point, look, people are too engrossed with their cell phones and the soccer game and whatever's on TV and trending on Netflix to be engaged in what's really happening to this country. And by the time it does happen, they're going to go, oh, when did that happen? Because they're all so disengaged and focused on other things. So distracted, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, and let's take some time to think about that because you've really nailed it, Steve. You know, tomorrow is Patriots Day. That would be 249 years since my great-grandfather and his men confronted the British at the North Bridge. And in the Declaration of Independence, it's very clear that we have the inalienable right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And I feel too many Americans, to your point, have been too focused on life, very often not for any fault of their own, just trying to keep their head above water, and then squeezing out whatever happiness they can on the other side. But I guarantee you, if we do not tithe for liberty and invest in liberty, we will have none, and our children certainly will have none. So it is, I'm hoping that this, the Redeclaration of Independence, is a wake-up call. I hope we can reach millions of Americans so they can say, listen, it's time to invest in our constitutional republic because we're going to lose it if we don't.
Well, you know, look, we're already losing it. This open border, we all know, is flooding America with millions of people that have no interest in America at all. They don't care. I just, in the last hour, played all these videos of these illegals that have come to America sitting and complaining and airing their grievances because the food isn't good enough and the housing isn't good enough. And they're sitting there complaining to all the people in New York City and they demand more. They want to go back to the luxury hotels. They want more money on their monthly debit cards. I mean, I'm sorry. When people showed up in America penniless over the last 250 years, they showed up and they went to work. They didn't sit down and air grievances because the food wasn't good enough, did they?
Well, when you have half of our leaders or, you know, more in many of the states like New York, you know, basically saying that they're owed this or they're due this and they're given an entitlement. We all know from the history of entitlements, when you give someone something they really didn't earn, it's really difficult to take it back. And, you know, anyone that's objective, you know, the man on the street test, that you know that you did not earn the right to be here and get stuff from the United States if you broke into the country in the first place. But for some reason, we have leaders, and I think we can all agree, political reasons are packing the country with illegals, and the motives are not pure.
Oh, and, the motives are not pure at all. The motives come actually from two sides. They come from the left, as we know, as we've seen these flyers down on the border in Texas telling illegals that they need to vote for Joe Biden. Of course, the NGOs are, oh, that's not ours. Doesn't matter. The flyers are there encouraging people to vote illegally to come in, speaking Spanish, of course. And then, of course, you've got these big corporations, big, you know, meat processing facilities and agricultural facilities that want cheap labor so they can have a bigger bottom line. They're all guilty, Barry, all of them.
Well, it's shameful, too. And let's talk about the corporations for a minute, because these are the same corporations that lobby those interests in Washington, D.C., that have made it more difficult to employ people here in the first place because of all the rules and regulations. You know, one of my motivations to write the Redeclaration of Independence was to level the playing field for American labor. And that's very important to me because I grew up in a manufacturing family and I watched firsthand through the 70s and 80s and 90s how our government made it much more difficult to make things here, to employ people here, and to comply and run a business here while, you know, easily importing goods from nations in Asia and other places that were polluting the environment and abusing people and their employees. And once we start focusing on putting Americans to work, we don't have to import and making it easy for those people that like to make things and the productive people. We don't have to import cheap labor because we can have fair, good labor here that produces great products.
Yeah, but it's not happening. That's fine. I mean, you look at the agricultural products on the shelf. We talk about that a lot here. You go in and you find products from Peru and Vietnam and Mexico, of course, and all these other places, but not American farmers, because American farmers have to deal with a higher level of control, which is fine to control and keep the food supply safe. But minimum wage and regulations, can't use this chemical, can't use that fertilizer, so on and so forth, making it impossible for the American farmer to compete. And so, therefore, we get undercut by foreign competition. Same is true with labor, Barry. But where do we go from here? How do you do something some momentum here? Tell me how people can get involved if they're interested.
Well, go to redeclaration.org and give it a read. It's a 1.5 or 2 minute read. There's 10 tenants that talk about basic things that are really, really, really agreeable and should pass the 80-20 test, which are a balanced budget, term limits, securing the border, securing the elections, you know, energy independence. We're not talking huge, complicated concepts here. We're talking about foundational concepts. So if people would go to redeclaration.org, give it a read. If you like it, sign it. You can sign it anonymously and then forward it to 10 friends and family members. And make sure you forward it to your rep or the person running against them, because this, at the end of the day, is a candidate accountability and representative accountability project. We need a measuring stick to hold them accountable, because if we don't stand up and direct what they do in Washington, they're going to continue to run the table.
And run us over the cliff. $34 trillion in debt, no end in sight as we transfer our wealth out of this country and become the poorest nation on earth, which is what we are today. Barry, thank you for being here.
Great to be with you this morning, Steve.
Really appreciate it. All right, we'll take a break. Still to come today, we're going to talk about this Department of Justice floundering in front of the Supreme Court, trying to explain how these J6 defendants were so harshly punished. It's coming up. Don't go anywhere.